Gopal Champu, Chapter 18, Defeating Indra's Pride and Increasing Govardhan's Pride. In the morning, when the effulgent members sat in rows in the assembly of Braj, Snigdhakanta began joyfully speaking with tears in his eyes and a choked voice. Among the months, the end of Ashvina month has special qualities. People from the outskirts of Braj, wearing clothing fit for sacrifices, become absorbed in deep bliss. Nanda and others walked about with sons and followers with generous hearts, giving orders to those purifying the area for a sacrifice to Indra. Giving up their houses, they lived outside. One day in the evening, returning from the pastures with Balaram, joyful Krishna with curiosity looked at the activities of the cowards. He stayed there because of great curiosity and desire. Since he had seen this in many previous years, it was not novel. However, because of boldness, along with anger at Indra, he became affectionately angry at his father and others, and began to inquire out of seeming ignorance. Indra is proud, taking the cowards as insignificant. I am the protector of all those who protect the universe. Daksha and other Prajapatis, the Manus, the kings of the earth, the sages born from Brahma, are all present here as my representatives. But yet my family members have great devotion to Indra. To make clear Indra's pride, he then inquired while feeling miserable within. O Father, please tell me why you're so intently engaged. If it is for sacrifice, who is the devata? What is the scriptural authority and what is the result? Perceiving somewhat Krishna's intention from understanding his learned questions, Nanda did not answer immediately. Then Krishna, taking the mood of a child befitting his age, spoke with misery. I am eager to hear about what you are doing. Between us, you are the performer of action, and I am the listener. What shall I say explicitly about the sacrifice to Indra? Will this child understand? When his respected father doubted in this way, Krishna then desired to show great knowledge. O Father, you are most expert and learned. I am your son. I have only been engaged in herding the cows, and that is not finished. But I am slightly familiar with jnana and dharma. He then began to explain nicely. Paramatma is present in all bodies, and all jivas are within him. All jivas are spiritual. The wise who know this are worshipped by the learned. The wise should not hide this knowledge. One may object that this is the opinion of yogis, but listen, one should give up the neutral party as an enemy and accept one's Atma as a friend. One should not say that this sacrifice is the path of Dharma without careful consideration. The wise reach perfection, not the fools. Dharma may be according to the Vedas or local custom. Which of these do you follow? When Krishna revealed this vast knowledge to curb Indra's pride, on seeing him speak so impressively, Nanda replied in astonishment as follows, in order to gain a favorable impression. Though this act is a local custom, since it has been passed down by tradition and is proper, we consider it Vedic. Indra, the object of worship, is the giver of rain and is omniscient. It is a traditional worship, a feature of coward life. Hearing an answer which was an action prominent in Karma Yoga and desiring to diminish the stature of Indra, he destroyed the position of Indra by following the opinion of those learned in Karma Kanda. Dharma gives results of karma to people following the law of karma. Therefore, Indra is simply following karma. Offering to a person dependent on karma is offering sacrifice to ashes. Offering to the household fires for cooking food will maintain oneself and family members. As aviras, our duty is to herd the cows. If we are to worship some devata, then it should be the devata who protects cows. He then argued by taking ideas from the Sankhya philosophers, fearing that Nanda would say that Indra is the rain-giver. Govardhan Mountain, the source of grass arising from Rajagun, is the shelter of the cows, not Indra. The cows are our life, and the brahmanas are our benefactors. If we take shelter of them, then the devatas will recognize this. He then defeated other arguments by the methods of those learned in false argument. Inference and Shabda are known only through perception. Therefore, perception is the chief proof. Therefore, let us celebrate a festival for the cows, Brahmanas, and Govardhan by using the offerings of Indra for worship of these three. If sacrifice must be done, then make offerings to the fire. The sacrifice is the shelter for all, and is directly seen as such. You should satisfy the Brahmanas with gifts of cows and money. This is simply your nature, not under the control of higher powers. After feeding rice to all, from Brahmanas to the lowest caste, and feeding the cows grass, you should give a mountain of food to Govardhan, by which the mountain will be known as a peak made of food. You should give charity to all beings down to the dog-eaters and dogs, but not to Indra. Speaking with his intention to engage each person without protest, he then said, feeding them and taking cloth, ointments, and ornaments, circumambulate the Brahmanas, fire, cows, and the mountain. It is not necessary to go on foot. Comfortably going by cart is also allowed. Those who take the remnants of Govardhan, born as humans in Braj, will be without old age with peaceful minds and beautiful bodies. The knowledge called Govardhan worship will manifest wealth, beauty, and affection from all people. The person who ignores worshipping Govardhan and worships Indra will become blind, afflicted by old age, and devoid of clothing. Glancing at Balaram and smiling slightly, he again spoke with respect. I request this with my intelligence as a child. The cows, Brahmanas, and Govardhan are dear to me and are my benefactors. If you like this idea, then please do it quickly. If Indra interferes, there will be problems. Whatever acts you do with your body, mind, or words are always pleasing for me. Therefore, please do this for satisfying me. O Father, the wise person knows naturally what is beneficial for himself. If he does not, he should not speak. If he speaks, he certainly should know. Though the speech was full of contradictions, hearing the fluent description and seeing his face, all the cowards and Brahmins who came for the festival accepted it as authoritative. Whatever a dear person speaks is pleasing and accepted by all. If those words are even a little correct, however, how much more they are respected. Hearing this, Madhukanta began to think to himself without speaking. Krishna has spoken well, thought out atheistic views outside the Vedas only as a pastime of defeating Indra for his many crooked ideas and not to reject the Vedas. Because of his great affection for them, these ideas do not seriously apply to the leaders of Braj, who are the crest jewels of knowledge, having faith in the final goals of life mentioned in the Vedas. Since Krishna's mood is accepted as the highest by the gurus with knowledge of God, it is said, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the coward men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. What he spoke with a desire to defeat Indra resulted in the highest pinnacle of spirituality. The moon born in the family of Braja's kings had the desire to hold a festival of the greatest joy. He then spoke aloud. Then what happened? Snigdhakanta said, after the dark moon celebrated with Deepavali, after taking the joy of giving gifts on that day, on the first day of the waxing moon, with great faith, taking shelter of Krishna, the supreme shelter, they did as he ordered. In order to carry out this alternative worship, they ornamented the peaks of Govardhan, which increased everyone's joy, with flags and canopies of various colors, and worshipped the hill using the best ingredients such as pajam and argyam, attractive with fine fragrances and prepared with attention. They made offerings everywhere on Govardhan in the form of hills, with ghee resembling waterfalls, with various colored vegetables resembling the gaurika minerals on the cliffs, with unsurpassable rivers of milk and lakes of yogurt. The various peaks would later be well known by the names of the sweets such as Apupika and Shashkulika offered at that time. The tumult of the various types of music at the sacrifice spread to Swarga. The Ashvini Kumaras concluded that this music would be the cause of an earache for Indra. When all the mountains of food were being offered, a huge form of Krishna appeared, The cause of people seeing Krishna as small in comparison to this form was their limited intelligence. Poets describe the huge expanding form joined to the rocky mountain beneath. Is this a gold and black effulgence? Is it a cloud with lightning? Or is it a mountain shining with minerals? Or is it Krishna appearing in an expanded form? This huge form surpasses a mountain of lampblack. Its clothing surpasses the evening cloud. Its ornaments surpass the effulgence of the sun. Its crown is like 1,000 strong branches laden with the best flowers. This lord of mountains causes astonishment to my eyes. Then the sweet form called Krishna, expert at defeating the cleverness of Brahma, inquired with humility, O Lord, who are you? Rumbling like thunder to make the clouds wander, with meaning to make the clouds stop moving, Govardhan spoke, O members of an unprecedented festival, I am the mountain. Hearing this, Krishna, the enemy of the demons and friend of Sridham and others, spread his arms and stopped the cowards who were making ever-increasing irrepressible commotion. In a loud voice, he then spoke to all the people. This divine being is worthy of our respects, since it has produced direct faith by accepting to manifest this huge expanded form out of his eagerness and compassion. Having said this, with a sweet smile, Krishna, along with Balaram, offered respects on the ground. All others, with astonished hearts, offered respects in the same way. Govardhan, increasing everyone's joy, again spoke to the crowd, standing faithfully with folded hands. The devatas see themselves as different from you. I do not see myself as different from you. Now look, I will eat what is given to me in full view. After saying this, Govardhan ate 10 million adhikas of cooked rice and vegetable preparations. On each peak, he ate a mouthful. Then, drawing all the water from lakes, ponds, and rivers, he depleted them all. When he stretched out his hand to take food in front of him, immediately all the food came to him from all sides, just as sparrows come flying on seeing grains. Putting the vegetables in the middle, he devoured the piles of rice with his right hand and mocked Indra by wiggling the tip of his index finger of his left hand. With his hands, he quickly consumed huge quantities of food. All directions became filled with his hands extending and retrieving. The women of Braj were able to see this. This was astonishing among many astonishing things, since no rice at all remained, though it was so abundant that it could not be counted. As Govardhan, king of the mountains, continued to eat, more food was prepared in order to satisfy his appetite. The children expressed fear. The youthful laughed. The elderly were astonished, and qualified people showed devotion. Govardhan was fully satisfied with all of them. Govardhan repeatedly gathered water from a great distance, washed his mouth and spit out the water, creating rain which fell on his back and made the grass sprout up. After washing his mouth, he took bamboo sticks to clean his teeth. Having shown this form to satisfy living beings, he then withdrew it. Making piles of betel nut, he began chewing it with pride. He showed a face as brilliant as the morning sun. When it came time for arti, they became bewildered. How can we perform arti to this huge form? Thinking in this way, their hearts fluttered. Slightly laughing, Krishna arranged another utensil as a lamp, which moved above and below with 1,000 flames. Seeing that mountain had become conscious, and that it desired, searched, and took, the people placed their hands on their heads in astonishment and stood up. Giving blessing to all, the benefactor mountain then suddenly disappeared. Offering respects, the people stood for a few moments, motionless like pictures. When they became fully conscious, Krishna spoke to the people assembled for the festival. See, this mountain has mercifully shown this huge form and eaten all the food. It seems that anyone who disrespects him will be punished. Since he has taken Indra's offering, he must be very powerful. With great faith, they worship the cows which possess the highest prema. The cowherds and cows of Braj first exchanged affection. Nanda and his son were the ideals in doing this. But how can the cows be completely described at the Govardhan festival with worship of Govardhan? One can understand from seeing that the cows were most worthy of worship. Being worshipped, dressed in fine cloth, fed sumptuously, united with their calves, the cows were truly happy and fat. But when the cows saw Krishna, they became more blissful. If this did not occur, the cows would not be happy, just as persons who give up sweets do not enjoy taking medicines. With gold caps on their horns, silver on their hooves, and bells jingling, they appeared most beautiful. The cowherds were astonished by the worship that Krishna and the other cowherds performed for the cows. Following the rules, approaching the cows decorated with colorful cloth and appearing like paintings, herding the cows out of sport, and after giving up noisy laughing, they then let them take rest while giving them food. They circumambulated them, offered respects, and appointing the best priest, performed sacrifice with profuse oblations. They circled the fire, which turned to the right, and worshipped the celebrated priests with piles of ornaments. They worshipped Krishna. They were not satisfied in giving all the astonishing items, bathing clothes, tilak, ointments, garlands, and earrings. As part of the worship of Govardhan, his mother, father, and friends could not stop worshipping Krishna for a long time. Nanda and Yashoda treated Krishna and Balaram in the same way, seeing no difference between them. They saw their friends in the same way. He confused the cows. When Krishna jokingly hid himself from the cows approached their calves in distress, and when he appeared, they lost their consciousness. He laughed loudly. When he pulled the suckling calves away in order to disturb them, and they pulled the udders with their teeth, the cows would moo and flee everywhere in distress. He then laughed. Hearing this, all the people experienced bliss, since that lotus face showered honey filled with loud laughter in all directions. He fed the cows. The cowherd said, "Krishna, touch this cow food with your hand a little." The cows then ate that food, endowed with the fragrance of his hand. He let the cows rest. The cowherds were not able to control all the millions of cows at the festival, but the flute of Krishna, made of thousands of good qualities, ropes, with its graceful tune, stopped them all. Krishna ordered circumambulation of the cows. One cannot quickly circumambulate such a number of cows. We will circumambulate one to accomplish this, since the type jati included innumerable individuals. One should walk around a mature calf, since the wise say that if one waters the root, one waters everything. Devotion to the cows with offering of respects is eternal and need not be described, since by nature the cowherds are devotees. Nanda's cowherds are superior devotees. The devotion manifested during the Govardhan sacrifice cannot be known by the great sages. The way they accepted the priest at the sacrifice was unusual, because they did not request the priest as is normally done. The priest was self-appointed. He concentrated his mind during the sacrifice, as a priest should. The sacrifice is described. At the great sacrifice of Govardhan, in place of the fire, the effulgence of the Lord who gives affliction to Indra shone brightly. When the fire turned to the right, all people began circumambulating it. At the sacrifice, Nanda joyfully ordered his servants to give the best cloth, tilak, unguents, and ornaments for the limbs to the brahmanas without cessation. It sounded as if he were saying simply, "Give, give, give." When Nanda was giving such charming gifts, the witnesses simply looked. By seeing this, people were completely satisfied. The bards have glorified this. Please say what person among the wealthy is a more generous giver of wealth than the coward Nanda. In this sacrifice, something special occurred. At the sacrifice of Govardhan, all humans and other living entities were filled with food up to their throats, but their hearts were not full at all. Look, though all the devatas were satisfied, Indra dried up. Along with the priests and benefactors, learned members of the assembly, having engaged brahmanas in sacrifice, worshipped Krishna, and putting Nanda in front, ate the excellent sacrificial remnants. Wearing special clothing, tasting the glories of the Lord in songs, with faith, laughing, free from fear and dancing, they circumambulated Govardhan. This is described in the Vishnu Purana. After feeding and worshipping tens of thousands of Brahmanas and worshipping the cows, they circumambulated Govardhan. One after another they proceeded. The cows and bulls, Brahmanas, guards, followers, elders, and women, hundreds of young servant girls and craftsmen circumambulated. Dancers showing skill with music, like fishermen, cast the net of songs of Krishna's qualities everywhere to catch the eyes of the people. They earned their name as fishermen. The coward women sang as follows. In this song, one woman asked the question, and the others answered. Who has arranged the worship of Govardhan? He who fearlessly assumes the position of Indra. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who has killed Putana. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who crushed the body of Trinavarta. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who uprooted the Arjun trees. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who destroyed Vatsasura and Bakasura. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who killed Vyomasura and Agasura. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who subdued Kaliya. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who killed harsh Palambasura. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who swallowed two forest fires. Who has performed the worship of Govardhan? He who gives fear to Kamsa. But when the inhabitants of Braj became stunned by the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, cool like snow without winter, all the good qualities and various interests of the inhabitants became attractive. Putting the cows with gold, gem-studded horns in front, and arranging all the cowards, Krishna began circumambulating the mountain with Balaram and his friends. His bodily effulgence increased from his cloth shining like gold. His body shone with kumkum and a rope hung over his back. His clothes also shone. His body was attractive with fine scents and red powder. He threw his stick in the air and caught it. Running after the straying cows, he brought them back to the path. Laughing and playing, he kept beat with his hand, sometimes in agreement and sometimes in counter-rhythm. Playing on his flute, he walked around Govardhan. Wherever Krishna went by his will, either slowly or quickly, all people's eyes went there and attained the same state as if they were puppets on strings. With great joy, they continued the journey and returned to the attractive place of sacrifice. In great bliss, they spent the night there, with the women and others dancing, singing, and playing instruments. The next morning, after hearing the glories of Yamuna and offering her respects, they took bath in the river and returned to their houses. On this day called Bratridvitiya, the brother should be fed by the hand of the sister. Thus Balaram and Krishna, full of longing and controlled by their affection, along with their friends, were invited by a gathering of the most fortunate young daughters of Upananda and others. They were served food and achieved great happiness. After this, Indra, with crooked mentality, became angry, thinking, Krishna has prevented my sacrifice because of his inflated pride. Out of envy, to show that Krishna's aggressive inferences about Indra, though not made directly to him, should not be accepted, Indra sent the Sambartaka clouds to destroy Braj and to chastise Nanda and others who were worshipped by the universe. First from the north, an icy wind began blowing and black clouds appeared while thunder rolled. The cowards brought the cows to the sheds and, seeing the bad omens, surrounded Krishna and remained in that position. On Krishna's order, they went to Govardhan and, looking up, remained there. Krishna stated, if Indra is producing this rain to destroy the universe, Govardhan, giver of mercy, will be merciful. When they came near the mountain in order to clear all obstacles, the cowards and Krishna remained there. Govardhan began to keep his promise. First, the people who had taken shelter of courtyards, strongholds, cottages, banyan trees, and slopes, but then they were afflicted by crooked blasts of wind, which felled huge trees and made terrifying sounds. When the people gave up Braj, the wind wandered about with ever-increasing boldness. The streams of rain appeared to be arrows released from Indra's bow, rainbow. The hail was as hard as thunderbolts. Thunderbolts wandered about, making the sun fall from its orbit. In this condition, when all the cowards surrendered to Krishna, Krishna lifted Govardhan in his hand. in such a way that no one at all could speculate how he did it. Seeing that the rains of Indra, maker of clouds, were definitely causing fear and pain, Krishna, who produces auspiciousness, first began to reflect, "I think that Indra with pride believes that I am far away. Therefore I should crush his pride. I am the only resort for the cowards. I and my followers attain great bliss in the cowsheds. They are my hearts. I treasure them as my very life." When there was confusion as Krishna held up the mountain, he began to discuss with Balaram. Awareness of their mutual affection produced discussion about holding up the mountain. Lifting that mountain, his hairs stood on end like needles. He reduced the pride of the rumbling thunder by his sweet, deep voice, extending far in the distance to his family of cowards, having baseless fear. With affection, he spoke clearly. When he called, the word "O" extended in length. "O Mother, do not delay. O Father, please come. O Elders, please bring everyone." When Balaram brought them all close, he again said to them, "O Father, do not fear. O Mother, do not be troubled. O friends, be happy. I am not exerting myself at all, since merciful Govardhan is himself rising up in my hand, and is light like a piece of cotton. I see within the mountain a hole having a ladder, looking like Patala. Since the mountain is broad, there is no water in the central area, and it is not slippery." Seeing that they were thinking that he could not hold the mountain, and it would fall, he again spoke, accepting to partially hold the mountain. "O respectable people, do not forbid me to do this on the advice of my mother. How can the mountain fall from the hand of someone lifting it? However, do not delay very long. Seeing your suffering, I will tremble, and then the mountain will fall. Quickly, come under the mountain." Understanding Krishna's desire, the cowards came under the mountain. They did not think of him as their protector, but as their only object of service, that is, to be protected. There was a hole equipped with a ladder by which one could easily enter into a place lit by jewels. Its walls were studded with gems just like a house, and it had a splendid ceiling. The floors were embedded with touchstones, and the place was divided into rooms. Fresh water was available. A gentle wind, pleasant to the touch, was blowing. He held up the mountain casually in his left hand while smiling. He remained standing in that broad interior with his attractive form. With his arm on his friend's shoulder, he held his flute in his bent hand. The inhabitants of Braj saw him with joy, eagerness, and fear. They became stunned. Govardhan was like a huge house decorated with jewels in which Krishna was situated as a sapphire pillar. Krishna's arm was like a jeweled stick, and the mountain was like an umbrella above. The rains falling everywhere were like strings of pearls. The people of Braj experienced the rain as a splendor. Then Yashoda, along with Rohini, held his sides. This is described by poets as follows. He was held on the sides by the two mothers, who became wiping his lotus face repeatedly. Seeing his amazing actions, Nanda and the others stood with hair standing on end. Then with smiling lotus eyes, with hands making a dancer's gestures, holding the mountain on his left hand, he shouted, "Victory, victory," while playing. In front of Krishna, Balaram, like an actor in a drama, amused all the jovial people. While outside there were great rainstorms, roaring wind, hard hail, thunder, and dark clouds, which caused suffering, inside there was no rain. There were sweet voices, pleasant breezes, attractive songs, rays of light, and Krishna with remarkable beauty, which produced happiness. There was singing, eulogies, and dancing by skillful performers. The best residents gave charity. Knowers of Vedic customs chanted auspicious prayers. The children played. Everyone's pride was reduced, and their prema for Krishna increased. What happiness did the lifter of mountains not give them? Krishna's praiseworthy glance was humbled to the elders, smiling to his equals, filled with tears to his followers, and sometimes unsteady. But it was crooked towards Indra. Towards each of them he expressed an appropriate meaning. Any other action would have the fault of redundancy. Drinking the nectar from the rays of his moon-like face, the cows gave up hunger and thirst for 7 days and nights, what to speak of the people who had affection for him. The people became filled with the juicy nectar emanating from his face. Thinking that he was hungry and thirsty, his mother kept filling him with juicy nectar. Ananda, with his thousand mouths, describing for seven kalpas, cannot complete the glories of Krishna's pastime of holding the mountain for 7 days and nights. If a poet quickly tries to describe this in three or four verses devoid of ornaments, he will end up in despair. When this situation prevailed, Indra then resorted to evil means. First, he doubted that Braja had been destroyed by the increased winds. He sent off hundreds of wind devatas to carry out his work. Quickly they came back, reporting that nothing had happened. Thinking that the strong rains must have destroyed everything, he sent the cloud devatas. They returned and answered that nothing had happened. Thinking this very strange, he became depressed. He began beating his carrier cloud in anger with his goad. Suddenly the lightning deity appeared in the sky in front of him, throwing fire with his eyes to destroy all strength. Those devatas returned with the same report. Please understand, a remarkable event has occurred. I have seen that mountain which expanded to eat all the offerings, now floating in the air. Indra said, see how the opposite has happened. Where have the inhabitants of Braja gone with their sons? All the servants again swiftly departed with his order and returned. Together they answered, O Indra, we recognize that you are the leader of the devatas. The people of Braj have all been turned to ashes by the fire of lightning, and therefore we cannot see them outside. Indra said in joy, may you live long, but search again. They again returned and explained an alternative version. O Lord of Swarga, they have not been destroyed even now. Entering a hole like Patala in the mountain, they can be seen enjoying like anything there. And the mountain is resting on the hand of Krishna like a pile of stones. Indra said, here is what I think. Previously I cut off the wings of the mountain. Has it got new wings since it has become partial to the inhabitants of Braja? In any case, I am prepared to kill it with the fire from a roaring thunderbolt. The proud people under the mountain will be crushed. After sending the thunderbolt to smash the mountain, he began thinking that this would also be thwarted. Developing intense anger since his desires had been thwarted, he then dispatched new servants, saying, ah, hide and see if any remarkable event has happened. The thunderbolt should have caused great disturbance by its efforts. They returned and reported what they saw. O Indra, not even one leaf has fallen, and not even one ant is suffering. If this is what has happened everywhere, what can be said of the condition of all the people within the mountain enjoying waves of bliss? Since the thunderbolt was useless against the lofty mountain, in anxiety he became fearful, astonished, and ashamed. For a long time he thought in silence, ah, oh, I remember, Vishnu has appeared there in the form of Krishna. How can he who is holding up the mountain be defeated by anyone? At that time, a foolish, lowly yaksha, partial to Kamsa, approached Indra with joy and offered respects. He said, O Indra, I from the house of Mahindra, son of the Danava named Drumila, offer my respects to your lotus feet. Kamsa, acting for your welfare, filled with affection to you, has offered and sent you his respects, filling the directions with the sound of drums. We are very happy with the actions you have undertaken. It is intolerable that respect for the great is destroyed by the pride of the insignificant. I have seen that the cowards, who rise up proudly like ants, have not been killed by fate. What is the necessity of accepting sacrifices from these cowards? Taking permission, we will perform sacrifices for you. Hearing this, Indra became astonished. Then he began to think, oh, by taking intoxications, I have destroyed my intelligence. I have contradicted the norms by showing friendship with the enemy. I have thus proved the meaning of my name, breaker of the family rules. Since I was proud, it is proper that I have been defeated, for it is seen that he who is overcome by pride will be defeated. He spoke to his servants, revealing this. Let this be. withdraw the clouds of destruction. Be tolerant to the son of Nanda, since he is my younger brother. We have been taught a lesson. How can we think of defeating Krishna? He ordered the Yaksha to deliver a message to Kamsa. I have understood that though you are constantly angry at Krishna, you remain in fear of him. This increases my anger towards you. If this is true, then I will deal with the situation appropriately. I have 100-fold wrath, 1,000 eyes, and millions of hands. Who can oppose me? Your wealth has been spent on Rakshasas, and you have lost favor of the Devatas. Krishna will soon be the destroyer of the members of the Bhoja dynasty like you. Hearing these words, the rascal Yaksha departed with a repentant heart. The message he delivered was useless, like urine in the waves. Criticizing himself, lamenting in 100 ways, without being proud of riding on his airplane, he went to his room to sleep in a repentant mood and experienced hell. Since Nilaya, room, became Nirya, hell. The 8 grammarians explained that L can be replaced by R. In desiring to destroy Braja by wind, Indra committed injury to himself. By desiring to give pain to Braj with showers of water, he created pain in his own heart. By desiring to strike Braj with thunderbolts, he beat his own head. He tried to disturb the devotees and gained the opposite result. When he entered his inner room, the sun quickly rose in the sky. The directions appeared, and the earth proceeded on its natural path. At that time, the eyes, ears, and feet of the living entities attained their functions of seeing, hearing, and walking. When the clouds cleared, Krishna roared loudly to the people, "Come out of the hole with all the utensils gathered together. Go quickly without fear." When he spoke these profound words clearly in that place, the clouds, which were previously defeated by the power of Govardhan, were defeated by his proud roaring. Accompanied by blaring music to stimulate the people to follow his orders, the people, along with the cows, shining like Krishna's body with fame and affection, emerged from the hole resembling the heart of Govardhan. First the cows came out of the hole, turning here and there to see the face of Krishna. After the cows came out, the people, seeing his face repeatedly, became stunned and agitated with affection. With difficulty, all the people emerged from the hole, and looking back, gazed with unblinking eyes as Krishna came out. As the jiva becomes satisfied on attaining life airs, so the people on seeing and attaining Krishna attained bliss. He who held up the mountain to protect his people and was filled with spontaneity, all qualities, beauty, tenderness, and love that spread everywhere appeared before the eyes of the people at the base of the mountain. As he had raised the mountain, he put it down. Everyone saw this, but did not exactly see how he did it. Helplessly immersed in solid streams of prema, the cowards met Krishna as he came from the hole and embraced him and welcomed him according to their status, from the elders down. The elder gopis respectfully decorated Krishna, conqueror of Indra, with attractive, auspicious items. Though he had conquered Indra, they put their hands on his head to bless him. He who has experienced this care in his heart will understand this type of care. Shukadeva has described Yashoda's meeting with Krishna. Though the attractive verse in Anushtup is concise, it flows with indescribable juice like a pot of nectar. Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaja, and Balaram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings. Ah, what has happened to the body of this young boy, soft as fresh butter? What is happening to it now, and what will happen in the future? In this way, they responded with doubt filled with affection. The pain in his body will be relieved by contact with our bodies. Thinking in this way, they embraced him. But it appeared they did not believe that, for they began giving countless blessings, glorifying his family line. Their sight of him was blocked for a long time by the flow of tears from their eyes, as they repeated his names. When four people suddenly meet, the prema increases since remembrance of Krishna increases. Therefore, Shukadev has mentioned the names of Yashoda, Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram. Since Balaram, powerful from Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti, felt pain out of affection for Krishna, then what can be said of Yashoda, who is devoid of these two Shaktis? He is non-different from Krishna. Yashoda, with tearful eyes, wiped his face all over, and Nanda touched his shikha. Looking at his whole body, they asked how he was. His friends began to massage his body. In this way, all the inhabitants engaged in serving him, for he was their very life. At this place, another curious event occurred. Please listen. When Kamsa's yaksha had left, Indra thought, "My fame is long-standing. This incident has occurred because he hid his true form. O servants, listen with attention. Though Krishna, frustrating my endeavors, has acted like an enemy, I know that he will assist me in quelling the demons. To test him, show fear and praise him." After Krishna came out of the hole with the inhabitants of Braj, in the heavens, O king, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. My dear Parikshit, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumburu, began to sing. The inhabitants of Swarga and earth began singing and playing instruments, the cowards surrounding him while walking in joy. He returned to Braj filled with the highest wealth of the gopis singing, while the women of Swarga shouted, "Victory!" Having gone into the hole with their carts, yogurt, and rice, they returned to their houses without any items being destroyed. Shukadev has described the inhabitants after coming out of the hole. The coward women presented water mixed with yogurt and rice as a token of honor. O Nanda, you have given birth to a son who lifted the mountain to protect his relatives, and who crushed Indra's pride from far off without destroying him. In lifting the mountain, Krishna showed his superiority not to just one person, but attained the highest position among you and in the universe. After the story was told, the people, as previously, left to do their duties. The sun, following Krishna, played till sunset, and the two reciters again were in the assembly of Sakis at night. First, Snigdhakanta spoke to Radha, the supreme benefactor. "Though the pastimes of you and Krishna are few, they are extensive. O Radha, these pastimes, most subtle and extensive, cannot be analyzed. To make the work smaller, we are abbreviating the pastimes. Among poets, we are rash. But by manifesting intelligence, the pastimes will be largely understood." He then said to his brother, "O respectable brother, ideal speaker, please listen again. Not only did Krishna reveal the sacrifice for Govardhan, but did it for tasting the moon-like faces of Radha and the other gopis. When he expanded the ingredients of the sacrifice, the gopis accepted the ingredients such as ornaments. When the lamps were lit, Krishna and the gopis were able to see each other from concealed places. When he began the festival of Govardhan, the gopis began a festival of desiring to see him. When the women became blissful at the sacrifice of Govardhan, the gopis became joyful, understanding that they would definitely see Krishna. When many young women talked to Krishna privately, Radha and others looked at him with understanding glances. When the mountain manifested its form and attracted all people, the gopis' eyes, like birds, spontaneously attained the abode of their desire. When everyone began worshipping the cows, the gopis asked Krishna about worship of each cow. When the worship of Krishna was performed externally, internal worship was seen on each gopi's face. When they saw the back of a coward marked with the hand of a young girl, the arms of the gopis became eager to touch Krishna. When Krishna entered the assembly of brahmanas at the time of sacrifice, the gopis offered their minds into the fire. When they became separated from him during circumambulation of Govardhan, the gopis thought that the distance of separation was as long as Govardhan. When Krishna threw his stick in the air and caught it, Radha, seeing that at a distance, made the Yamuna River with her tears mixed with lampblack. Whenever it was impossible for others to see them, he would run and miss the gopis on the pretext of following the cows. When Krishna, on the pretext of following the cows, went and touched Radha, she beat him with an angry glance, and he became stunned. When he saw Radha, he forgot everything, but he remembered her face. When they all lived together at night in one house, the gopis would hear only topics concerning Krishna. When Krishna played in the waves of the Yamuna, the gopis experienced playing with Krishna, though they were far away from him. When Krishna went to dine at the houses of girl cousins, the gopis went there on the pretext of friendship. When everyone returned to their homes, they returned to their homes which seemed like prisons. When the Samvartaka clouds appeared, the gopis desired to cover Krishna with the umbrellas of their bodies. When they saw him being protected with umbrellas by his friends, they thought the rain would break his body. When they gazed leisurely at Krishna, as he played under the umbrella which sheltered him from strong rain, they considered the rain to be nectar. When everyone stayed with Krishna in the hole in the mountain, the gopis considered that they had attained a treasure in their house. They relished the moon face of Krishna by their eyes in the form of tongues without blinking. Their eyes became chakora birds, constantly drinking the nectar for 7 days and nights. They could not imagine how they had gained such pious credits. Though Radha experienced the highest bliss, she shed warm tears like a pearl necklace. O Lord, you have no intelligence, because only after a long time you have shown me my lover, whom I now constantly see with a mountain in his hand. When Krishna held up the mountain, he avoided glancing in the direction of the gopis who were praying for his affection. If that glance happens to meet the face of Radha, my desires will have been fulfilled after much endeavor. Everyone thinks that merciful Krishna lifted the mountain out of mercy. O heart, remain steady. He will save your body, fearful of drowning in the constant shower from his eyes. This was Radha's thought. When the gopis heard Krishna order everyone to leave the hole in the mountain, they left him. Though he was their very life, he experienced their mood, and he also left the hole unable to tolerate the burden of pain. When Krishna emerged from the hole in the mountain, the gopis could not distinguish whether he had come out of the mountain hole or whether he had come out of their hearts. When the tears of the gopis soaked a large area of their mountain-like breasts, they seemed to reveal their desires to the mountain lifted by Krishna. Concluding, he said, O Radha, did the mercy that the lifter of the mountain distributed at that time take shelter of you through the edges of your tear-soaked eyes? When the two reciters departed after concluding the story as previously, all returned to their houses.